This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, text 25. Do we need a microphone? Would you prefer the microphone or can you hear well?
Can you hear?
I'm not getting an answer.
I can hear from here.
You can hear.
You can hear.
So then we'll forget the microphone. They just make things sound artificial. If it gets too low and you can't hear, just raise your hand. I'll speak louder.
425.
Daivam.
Daivam.
Eva pare.
Eva pare.
Yagyam.
Yagyam.
Yogina.
Yogina.
Paryupasate.
Paryupasate.
Brahmagna.
Brahmagna.
Apare.
Apare.
Yagyam.
Yagyam.
Yagyena.
Yagyena.
Eva.
Eva.
Upajuvati.
Upajuvati.
Daivameva pare yagyam.
Daivameva pare yagyam.
Yogina paryupasate.
Yogina paryupasate.
Brahmagna vapare yagyam.
Brahmagna vapare yagyam.
Yagena
upajuvati. Yagena upajuvati.
Daivameva pare yagyam.
Daivameva pare yagyam.
Yogina paryupasate.
Yogina paryupasate.
Brahmagna vapare yagyam.
Brahmagna vapare yagyam.
Yagena upajuvati.
Yagena upajuvati.
Daivameva pare yagyam.
Daivameva pare yagyam.
Yoginam paryupasate.
Yoginam paryupasate.
Brahmagneva pare yagyam.
Brahmagneva pare yagyam.
Yagnenaivo pajuvati.
Yagnenaivo pajuvati.
Devameva pare yagyam.
Devameva pare yagyam.
Yogina paryupasate.
Yogina paryupasate.
Brahmagnava pare yagyam.
Brahmagnava pare yagyam.
Yagnena upajuvati.
Yagnena upajuvati.
Devameva pare yagyam.
Devameva pare yagyam. Yogina paryupasate.
Brahmagnava pare yagyam.
Yagnenaivo upajuvati.
Yagnenaivo upajuvati.
Someone else?
Eva pare yagyam.
Yogina paryupasate.
Brahmagna pare yagyam.
Brahmagna pare yagyam.
Yagyeneva upajuvati.
Yagyeneva upajuvati.
Daivameva pare yajñam.
Daivameva pare yajñam.
Yogina paryupasate.
Yogina paryupasate.
Brahmagnava pare yajñam.
Brahmagnava pare yajñam.
Yajnena upajuvati.
Yajnena upajuvati.
Daivameva pare yajñam.
Daivameva pare yajñam.
Yogina paryupasate.
Yogina paryupasate.
Brahmagnava pare yajñam.
Brahmagnava pare yajñam.
Yajnenaivo upajuvati.
Yajnenaivo upajuvati. Ladies.
Deva.
Devam eva pare yagnam.
yajñam
yogina pariupasate
brahma gna pare yajñam
yajñena va pajupati Sarveva pare yajñam yogina paripasate brahmana pare yajñam yajñena va pajupati.
Ladies?
We just did.
Devameva pare yajñam
Devameva pare yajñam
Yogina pariupasate
Yogina pariupasate
Brahmagnava pare yajñam
Brahmagnava pare yajñam
Yajñena upajuhati priti
Yajñena upajuhati
Daivam,
Daivam,
in worshipping the demigods.
In worshipping the demigods.
Eva,
Eva,
like this.
Like this.
Apare,
Apare,
some others.
Some others.
Yajñam,
Yajñam,
sacrifices.
Sacrifices.
Yogina,
Yogina,
mystics.
Mystics.
Paryupasate,
Paryupasate,
perfectly worship.
Perfectly worship.
And worship perfectly.
Worship.
Brahma,
Brahma,
of the absolute truth.
Of the absolute truth.
Agna,
Agna,
in the fire.
In the fire.
Apare,
Apare,
others.
Others.
Yajñam,
Yajñam,
sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Yajñena,
Yajñena,
by sacrifice.
By sacrifice.
Eva,
Eva,
thus.
Thus.
Upajuvati,
Upajuvati,
offer.
Offer.
Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them. And some offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahma. Purport. As described above, a person engaged in discharging duties in Krishna consciousness is also called a perfect yogi or first-class mystic. But there are others also who perform similar sacrifices in the worship of demigods, and still others who sacrifice to the Supreme Brahma or the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord. So there are different kinds of sacrifices in terms of different categories. Such different categories of sacrifice by different types of performers only superficially demark varieties of sacrifice. Factually, sacrifice means to satisfy the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, who is also known as Yajna. All the different kinds, varieties of sacrifice can be placed within two primary divisions, namely sacrifice of worldly possessions and sacrifice in pursuit of transcendental knowledge. Those who are in Krishna consciousness sacrifice all material possessions for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, while others who want some temporary material happiness sacrifice their material possessions to satisfy demigods such as Indra, the sun god, etc. And others who are impersonalists sacrifice their identity by merging into the existence of impersonal Brahma. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Gaganatam Vitam Stam Sativam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kamsana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwanu Sute Devi Tanamani Manivye Vancha Kolpata Rupyasya Kripasindho Vyai Racha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnadevyo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare In this section of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is describing different kinds of sacrifice. Some do sacrifice this way, some do sacrifice that way, some do sacrifice another way. Many different kinds of sacrifice are being described. Later, Shreyan Dravyamayad Yajyas Gana Yajya Panantika. There are two kinds described. Dravyamaya Yajna and Gana Yajna. Dravyamaya means to sacrifice one's possessions. That's one kind of sacrifice. And another kind is sacrifice in pursuit of transcendental knowledge. Two broad divisions of sacrifice. But some sacrifice must be there. Nayam lokostra yajnasya kutonya kuru sattam. Without sacrifice, one can't even be happy in this life, and what to speak of the next. So sacrifice must be there. Yajna. Yajyartat karmanonyatra loko yam karmanam. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has said that one has to work with the purpose of sacrifice. Otherwise, one will be bound to karma bandhan, to the results of one's action. The sacrifice will help us get free from material entanglement. Now, here, daivameva pareya. Some are offering sacrifices to various demigods. Sun god, Indra, Chandra, Ganesha, Lord Shiva, Durga. In this way, different demigods. With the idea that these are powerful controllers, so we have to please them in some way. Just like Nand Maharaj, who's worshipping Indra. Because Indra is in charge of clouds and rain, and Vrindavan is a cowherd village. They're dependent on the rain. So traditionally they were worshipping Indra to get good rain. But of course Krishna said there's no need of worshipping Indra. You can instead worship me. That incident is there in Bhagavatam. Of course, Indra became angry. I've been deprived of my sacrifice. But, so I'll destroy your Vrindavan with my clouds and rain. And Krishna says, the deal with you is the business of my little finger. Anyway, some are worshipping different demigods. because they want material happiness. So it's a kind of a sacrifice, just like now I'll sacrifice for greater profit later. In business, sometimes they have a sale and they'll offer the goods at low price, maybe cost, maybe even below cost. They'll make a sacrifice. But the purpose is that I'll get more customers and later I'll make a profit. In this way, they're calculating sacrifice now, profit later. So in a similar way, people are worshiping the demigods. That, all right, let me give something, and in the future it will come back to me multiplied. Just I'll put something on the RT tray, I'll put something in the pranami box, in the donation box, and it will come back to me in multiples. Small sacrifice, and it will come back. In the churches also, they're giving their sacrifice in something, and they're thinking, in the future I'll go to heaven, or in the future God will bless me. Especially they're thinking in terms of material prosperity. So they're sacrificing. So people are sacrificing to different demigods. Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh, very quickly satisfied. So people are keen to worship him to get some material benediction, or to worship Durga Mata, again, for some material advancement. This is their purpose. Or they're under the misconception that all of these gods are simply representations of the same absolute, and you just choose whichever one you want. It doesn't really matter. This is their misunderstanding. But still, at least they undergo some sacrifice. Now let's see what's next. Now that I've lost my place. Demigods, the demigods are powerful living entities appointed by the Supreme Lord for the maintenance and supervision of all material functions, like the heating, watering, and lighting of the universe. Those who are interested in material benefits worship the demigods by various sacrifices according to the Vedic rituals. They are called Bhavishravadi, or believers in many gods. Bahu Ishravadi. There are many Ishras. More or less, yes, therefore the Hindu religion is thought of as being polytheistic. They have many gods. There's the elephant god, there's this god, there's that god. There's so many gods. Bahu Ishra. Many, many different Ishras, many, many different gods. And popularly, people are under the impression that you just choose whichever one you like. Ishta Devata. Well, I'm more attracted to this one, I'm more attracted to that one. Or I think I'll get a better deal over here, a better deal over there, according to my specific area of interest. For a particular purpose, people are worshiping different gods. Arogyam Paskaramijaya. For freedom from disease, one should worship the sun god. For getting a good wife, one can worship Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. For getting a good husband, worship Lord Shiva. For getting this, worship this. For getting that, worship that. All different departments. For getting free from obstacles in your progress, worship Ganesh. For worship for this, worship this, worship this. So people are worshiping, and they sort of cover their bases. We worship this one, we worship that one, so that all of our departments will be, like in a business, they bribe the transport minister, they bribe the this minister, they bribe that minister. So when we need something in whatever department, we're covered. No one is left out. So people are worshiping different gods to get different blessings, or just by tradition, they worship this one on Tuesday and that one on Thursday, without clear understanding, under the impression that there are so many different gods, and ultimately God has no form, no qualities, no name. God is some sort of force, God is some sort of indescribable something, and all of these different gods that we're worshiping are just projections or manifestations of the same God in the material world. It doesn't really matter which one you choose, they all represent the same thing. In this way, people are bewildered because they don't read the literature. They're simply following some tradition, but they're not following Bhagavad Gita. Although Bhagavad Gita is the Hindu Bible, it's popularly said, the Hindu Bible. Maybe it's like the Hindu Bible in the modern sense, that in the modern world, not so many people read their Bible either. So of course in the South more, they read something. But anyway, I'm Hindu, but I don't read Bhagavad Gita. And I have my own ideas and I'm willing to explain and everything. But I haven't understood Bhagavad Gita. If I've read it at all, I just read something here, something there, with different impersonal explanations, different mental speculations, and I get more confused. And then the children go to school and their friends ask them, why are you worshiping so many gods? Why are you worshiping an elephant god? Why are you worshiping that god? And the student doesn't know. He can't explain, give any rational explanation. So either he thinks, yeah, why am I doing all of this? I'm wasting my time. Or he thinks, no, anyway, this is our tradition. But he can't explain it to any of his friends in a way that makes any kind of sense. So his friends are just saying, all right, everybody's doing something. But it appears to be just some sort of strange rituals that the person who's performing can't understand himself. Because they haven't studied the science. Later, after describing so many kinds of yajna, Lord Krishna will say, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshana. You should try to understand all these different kinds of yajna under the guidance of a qualified guru. One who knows the science. Upadekshanti te gyanam, gyaninas, tattva-darshi. One should study from a tattva-darshi, a person who knows the science of Krishna. And that's further described. Yajgatva na punar moham evam yasasi pandava yena bhutanya sheshani. When you've properly understood from a genuine guru, then you'll never again be under this kind of illusion that you're in now. Yena bhutanya sheshani drakshas yatman yatomai. Because you'll see that everything is existing within the absolute truth, that is to say, mayi, within me. Mami vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta samanta. All the living beings are part and parcel of me. Even the demigods come from me, aham adir, hi devanam, maharshinam, tasaradishaha. So when you understand from the bona fide guru, you'll understand everything in Krishna consciousness. You'll understand everything, Krishna says, in relationship to me, as part of me. And then, napunar moham, you'll not be an illusion again. But if we don't follow this process, then we'll remain an illusion. Thinking so many things, there are so many gods, there are so many this, that, and acting by sentiment without actually understanding anything. So, therefore Krishna, therefore tad vijnanartam sadgurum eva abhigacchet. If one wants to understand things factually, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master to understand the science properly. So anyway, there are some people, bhavishvaravadis, they think there are so many gods. But others who worship the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth and regard the forms of the demigods as temporary, sacrifice their individual selves in the supreme fire and thus end their individual existence by merging into the existence of the supreme. So in this way of thinking, the fire is the supreme, and the offering is myself, and I'll sacrifice myself into the supreme, and I'll become one with the supreme. That's their idea. Such impersonalists sacrifice their time in philosophical speculation to understand the transcendental nature of the supreme. In other words, the fruitive workers sacrifice their material possessions for material enjoyment, whereas the impersonalist sacrifices his material designations with a view to merging into the existence of the supreme. Designation means I'm thinking, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm this, I'm that, I'm so many things. If I have to get free from all of these designations, sacrifice all of these temporary identities, and become Brahma, become identical with the Absolute. These designations are all non-absolute, temporary. So let me get free from these temporary designations and merge with the eternal. That's their objective. For the impersonalist, the fire altar of sacrifice is the supreme Brahma, and the offering is the self being consumed by the fire of Brahma. The Krishna conscious person, like Arjuna, however, sacrifices everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. And thus, all his material possessions, as well as his own self, everything is sacrificed for Krishna. Thus, he is the first class yogi, but he does not lose his individual existence. Well, the devotee is performing perfect sacrifice. He sacrifices his possessions for Krishna. He sacrifices these bodily conceptions for Krishna. He sacrifices his self for Krishna. So everything becomes united with Krishna. And yet, the devotee maintains his eternal individual existence. The worshippers of the demigods maintain their illusory material designations. They increase their material bewilderment. And the impersonalists sacrifice those designations, but they sacrifice their individuality as well. And therefore, their position is not steady, not perfect. Avishuddha. But the devotees sacrifice everything for Krishna. Especially in the Sankirtan Yajna, we sacrifice. We sacrifice our time to hear about Krishna, to chant about Krishna. We if we have some money, we sacrifice some money for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement or for learning about the Krishna consciousness movement. We buy some books, we buy some recordings, whatever may help us in our Krishna consciousness. And if we can, we invest to distribute to others also. We invest our time to serve Krishna by cooking for Krishna, by decorating the deity, by different ways. Whatever. One should always be engaged, one way or another, in sacrifice. If we're simply trying to enjoy this material world, then we're thieves. Yo bhunte stain aims. One has to sacrifice. Acknowledge the demigod worshippers, at least, they're recognizing there's some higher authority. So that sacrifice helps them progress at least to some extent. But the devotees have reached the perfection of sacrifice. They're sacrificing for the personality of Godhead, and therefore their sacrifice is perfect. All right, we'll stop here and see what questions we have.
Maharaj, just like you said, I worship demigod, and so I come from Hindu family, so we used to worship all demigods, and still my family is doing the same thing with what we used to do, and they don't want to accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sometimes, yes, they are so confused. Sometimes they say, we don't believe all these Shastras and all these, who have seen Prahlada, who has seen Krishna, nobody. So, how can you say there is Krishna? There's all kind of questions. And they are our relatives. So we don't want to spoil the relationship also with them. And how to explain them, it's very difficult.
One thing is, why should we waste our time with relatives? There are so many people in the world who are innocent, who are open, who are looking for understanding. Why should we waste our time with nonsense relatives who are convinced that they already know everything? They don't want to hear. They have no interest. Why should we waste our time with them? Yes, yes, whatever you're doing, we're not going to waste our time with them. That's one thing. There's so many interested people. America's full of people who are interested in understanding spiritual lives, understanding the truth. Actually, the Americans are good candidates because they don't know anything. The Indians know everything. Yes, yes, I know Bhagavad Gita. Yes, yes, I know Krishna. They know everything. So because they know everything, they're hopeless. They're hopeless cases. Of course, those who are not quite so convinced that they know everything, there may be some hope for them. But Prabhupada gave the example of the music school, where it was a very exclusive school. If you didn't know music, they charged you a lot of money. And if you did know music, they charged you double. Because first they have to unteach you everything you think you know. So Prabhupada said that actually the Americans had that advantage. They didn't know anything. So when they heard from Srila Prabhupada the message of Krishna, they simply accepted. But our nonsense relatives, they'll say, no, 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 no. We don't believe that there's Krishna. Who's seen Krishna? And still they'll go on worshipping. No one's seen Shiva, no one's seen Ganesh, no one's seen anyone. And still they're doing their puja, this one, that one, in hope of some material profit. So they're pukka confused. And why should we waste our time with them? There's so many people who are open and We can go from door to door and offer, sir, here's a book of knowledge, and people may take interest. It doesn't matter, American, Indian, Iranian, Spanish. We can go from house to house, place to place, shop to shop, and say, please, take advantage of this book. And there are so many people who will be happy, yes, let me read something. And if they read even a page, two pages, their whole life may change. We don't have to bang our heads against the wall with relatives who are convinced that they know everything. Apart from that, still, all right, put some, here, take this book, it will, that's an easy way. I won't argue with you, here, take the book and read it. And then come back and let's talk. Let them do the work. Why should you do all the work to bang against the wall? Here, take this book and read something, and next time we meet, we can discuss. The book is a better preacher than you are. Apart from that, read the books yourself, and you'll be armed with so many things to tell them. All the arguments are there. Prabhupada's given so many. So read the books, listen to the lectures. So many lectures are there, Prabhupada's lectures, other devotees' lectures. You'll be equipped. They're not equipped. They're just saying something. But you'll have so many arguments. We're not short of arguments. But we're not just interested in arguing with people who...
So sometimes even if you're equipped with arguing with your relatives, isn't it better, I mean, at least I found in my own family situation, better to agree to disagree?
Yeah, lots of times there's no... That's why I said there's like... Why? Go ahead.
Just to keep this relationship, because there has to be some relationship, so you don't want to ruin that by preaching. Especially if they're not open to it. So just talk about this subject.
Yeah, we'll look at the baby pictures and all that stuff.
When we follow the sadhana bhakti, we develop love for Krishna. And I want to know, wherever is it, like, since we come to this topic about the demigod worship, wherever are worshipping like different demigods, do they, in process of time, do they develop the same type of love for that god?
Sometimes. Not exactly, but by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna says, Maeva Vihitam Hitam. Where's that in the Bhagavad Gita?
722.
Sataya shataya yuktas. Yeah. Yo yo yam yam tanam pakta shataya chita mitrati. Tasya tasya chalam shatam tam eva vidadamyam. First he said, Kamais taista erhita gyana prapajyante nidevata. Tam tam niyamamastaya prakritya niyatasya. Those who've lost their knowledge, those who are bereft of knowledge because of material desires, kamais taister, fit again, bereft of knowledge, prapajyante nidevata, they surrender to this and that demigod. Tam tam niyamamastaya prakritya niyatasya. And according to their own natures, passion, goodness, ignorance, some mixture, they worship different gods. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta shradhayarchita michchati tasya tasya chalam shradham tam eva vidyadamyam. When someone wants to worship some particular god, I give him the steadiness to do that. I make it possible. Satya shradhaya yuktas tasya rada namiyate. They stick to their worship and labhate chotata kaman, they may get what they want also. But mayaiva vihitan hitan, it's actually given by me. The fate is given by me, the result is given by me. I'm in the heart of the demigod, so I say to the demigod, all right, this fellow is worshipping you, give him. I'm in the heart of the worshipper, I say to him, all right, you want to worship such as you want to worship Ganesh? Do it with full faith. From within his heart, you want to worship Ganesh? All right, do it. Ganesh is great, you should worship Ganesh. Indra is great, you should worship Indra. Durga Mata is great, you should worship. He's wanting to do it, and Krishna is within the heart. Upadrashtanu mantacha. He's the overseer, he's the permitter. He sees this person wants to worship in a certain way. Krishna gives him the steadiness to do it. And now he's been steady for some time, he's done it. Krishna tells the demigod, listen, he's been steady, give him something. Actually, it's Krishna in the background. And so then the person thinks, oh, I worship Lord Shiva and I got something. He becomes very happy. Lord Shiva is so great, he gave me a new car. Kama is taisterhit again, because they're fools. They're just after satisfying their material desires. And with that in mind, they worship such and such demigod, and Krishna helps them. All right, you want to be a fool? I'll help you be a fool. Matasmitir gyanam apovanamcha. I help you remember, I give you knowledge, or I give you forgetfulness. According to what you want. Most people have come to the world for forgetfulness. You want to forget me? Krishna says, I'll help you forget me. You can become one of these Bahu-Ishvara bodies who think that there are so many gods. Or you can become a Maya body and think that, no, all these gods are just forms of the Nirakar Brahma, impersonal absolute. But it's all made possible by Krishna. That's the difference between, one difference between Krishna and the demigods. When you worship Krishna, Krishna's within your heart, and he reciprocates directly. When you worship the demigod can't really do anything for you. Krishna has to help out the demigod. Yes, I'm in his heart. I'm in the heart of this fellow. I'll make his faith strong so he can worship you. And now it's Krishna who will help the worshipper also. I'll inspire the demigod, direct the demigod to give you the thing. But with Krishna, it's direct. Krishna's within the heart. Krishna's the Lord of the heart. The devotee is surrendering to that Supreme Lord. That Supreme Lord is directly reciprocating.
And one more question connected with the same thing. And a person who worships not demigods, but Krishna in different forms, like Ram, and they are just devoted to that form. So a devoted, when they're devoted whole life, they're devoted to that form. They don't chant the Hare Krishna mantra, but they're devoted to other form rather than Krishna. What happens to them? Do they go to Vaikuntha or they go to Goloka?
Why Goloka? They have no interest in Goloka.
Okay. So they go to just Vaikuntha.
They go to the Vaikuntha to be with the form that they're attracted to.
And they can continue doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Without chanting the Hare Krishna mantra.
Yeah, they don't have to chant Hare Krishna. They can chant Ram mantra, Narsingha mantra, Varaha mantra, according to their interest. Mm-hmm. Mm. Of course, they can also chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. We're not Ram Bhaktas, but we're chanting the mantra, it's half Ram. Mm-hmm. And they may not be Krishna Bhaktas, they can chant the same mantra, it's half Ram. Krishna, Ram are the same. Advaita Machuta Manadi Mananti. The Krishna Bhaktas can chant Hare Krishna, the Ram Bhaktas can chant the same Hare Krishna mantra. Hmm?
I was been chanting the Ram mantra since a little girl. I've been chanting for many, many years. Mm. And I started chanting the Ma mantra just because I didn't want to give up my Ram mantra, but I was just adding Krishna to it. I felt I was adding Krishna to it.
You can call it the Hare Ram mantra. Lots of times people refer to ISKCON as the Hare Krishna Hare Ram Society. So Ram is also there. He's not left out. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. But of course Krishna includes Ram.
We had a monthly Sankirtan festival yesterday. And we met this American lady who came, and she was really interested in the Bhagavad Gita. We described to her, and I thought that she was really interested. But then she said that, I've taken religious classes, and I think Ganesh is really supreme. So I tried to explain to her that, you know, Krishna is the super soul, and everybody are parts of him. And, you know, Ganesh is a really great devotee of Krishna. But I couldn't really convince her. How is the best way to talk
about Krishna? Well, you can... Everyone has their opinion. Ganesh is supreme, Krishna is supreme, Ram is supreme, Durga Mata is supreme, Shiva is supreme, I am supreme, you're supreme. Everyone has his own point of view. So her point of view is Ganesh is supreme. And if you say, no, Krishna is supreme, well, it's my word against yours. Or my devotion against your devotion, my choice against your choice. So what you can say, which is beyond argument, is, well, at least according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is supreme. They may have their opinion, I may have my opinion, you may have your opinion, but this is not controversial, that according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is supreme. There's no arguing about that. So, at least according to Bhagavad Gita, that's all right, you're worshipping Ganesh, but according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is supreme. That's objective fact. So, and then you can request her that you read Bhagavad Gita, that's all. Her head is full of nonsense, no doubt. So, you try to induce her that you take this book and you read. That's all. Otherwise, it's like an argument. Krishna, Ganesh, Krishna, Ganesh, Krishna, Ganesh, Krishna, Ganesh.
Yeah.
Right? You go back and forth. So we don't have to argue Krishna or Ganesh, but Bhagavad Gita is respected by everyone. So you read this Bhagavad Gita. And next time we'll meet, we'll discuss more.
She was telling about Maharaj, about the, I mean, who worships Ram, they will go to Vaikuntha, and who worships Krishna, they will go to Goloka. What is the difference between those two worlds, Goloka and Maharaj?
From one point of view, there's no difference. It's the spiritual world, so the spiritual world is the spiritual world. But within the spiritual world also there are distinctions. In the, of course, in Ayodhya or in where Ram is present in Vaikuntha, then Ram is there. So those who are attracted to the form of Ram, to the activities of Ram, they're getting that fulfillment. Ram is here. And those who are attracted to Krishna, they're getting that fulfillment, that Krishna is here with Balaram, gopis, everything, Goloka atmosphere. Apart from that, in Vaikuntha, the mood of service is with awe and reverence. Ram is a great king, is the greatest king, and everyone else is his subject, and they're serving him. The way that the subject serves the king, the way that the subordinate serves the superior, with great respect. When we serve the king, we have to respect the king. We have to be very reverential toward the king, and we express our devotion to the king in that mood, by serving, with reverence, with respect. That's perfect. But when love is developed to a still higher extent, then it transcends, it goes beyond the limits of respect. Just like Yashoda Mai, she's not respecting Krishna. No respect. If you're going to steal butter, I'm going to chase you with a stick. No question of respect. The coward boys are playing with Krishna. There's no question of respect. They're playing games, and if Krishna loses, then he has to carry his friends on his shoulders. No one says, but you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can I stand it? No, no, no. You lost. You have to carry me. That's all. Because the affection has gone beyond this level of respectful worship to the point of spontaneous love. That you find only in Goloka Vrindavan, not in Vaikuntha.
So based on this question, Prabhu, so while I am chanting Hare Krishna, I still have that mood as being a servant of Krishna.
That's good. The mood of spontaneous love is spontaneous. We can't. Process is that we have to follow the regulative principles. Now we're in the conditioned state. There's no question of spontaneous love for Krishna. I have spontaneous love for iPads, for cars, for family members. But I don't have spontaneous love for Krishna, because my Krishna consciousness is covered by the material attraction. So first we have to come to the stage of reviving our Krishna consciousness by following the regulative principles. And the regulative principles, there's respect, there's veneration, there's all of these things. Because first we have to come to that level. Then the spontaneous level will spontaneously manifest itself. And one's consciousness is purified, then spontaneous attraction will gradually appear. But first we have to act on the platform of regulative principles, worshipping Krishna with respect, with veneration. And in the advanced stage, spontaneous love can be there.
During one of the discussions, I heard that with somebody who is supporting Darwin's theory, and they were using Dashavatar as trying to prove the Darwin's theory, stating first is Matsyavatar, which is in water, then Kurmavatar, which is in water, then Vara, which comes on the land, and then evolution happens, and then Krishna also takes the form of a human, like a man. So how do we counter this kind of nonsense?
That before Matsyavatar, there's Mahavishnu.
I don't know from where this notion has come.
By compromise, because they're me toos. You know, everyone is saying Darwin, Darwin, Darwin. So they me too, me too, me too. So they want to make their religion scientific or respectable by me tooing it into Darwinism, by mental concoction. Oh yes, so we have it too, we have it too. How is that? Oh, first there was the fish, then there was this, there was that. It's all rubbish.
Is it everyone's testimony to go back to Krishna? I mean, if you come into the material world with certain destiny based on your karma from the previous life, but since Krishna's all attractive, I mean, shouldn't that mean that all souls really, their ultimate destiny would be to go back to him?
It's our natural purpose, but we've rebelled against our natural purpose. And so we make a different destiny. When we make a different destiny, then we stay in this material world revolving around and around and around. But finally, when the real purpose is revived, then it's back to Krishna.
What happens when if you have a certain destiny, but then you have your free will and you make choices? Does that change the destiny that's already ended time?
Excuse me?
Does your free will change the destiny that you've already come into this world?
Yes. We only have a little tiny free will, but when we turn toward Krishna, then our destiny can change. We're destined to suffer in repeated birth and death, but when we come in touch with the pure devotee of Krishna, or come in touch with the message of Krishna, our destiny, we get free from the clutches of material destiny and material laws of material nature, we gradually become liberated. The mundane destiny is by material cause and effect. But Krishna consciousness can change everything. There was one devotee, circumstance, he happened to visit a palm reader. And he'd already taken to Krishna consciousness, but the palm reader said that, no, it says in your hand that you'll leave Krishna consciousness. The lines are there. So then the devotee was very sorry that he listened to, approach the astrologer. Then he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this is what happened. Prabhupada said, just 3 claps before the deity and all the lines in your hands change.
You talked about sacrifice, talked about worshipping demigods. Basically, everybody has to be following Krishna consciousness, you said. But all of us who are following Krishna consciousness, or who is the Supreme God, why, whatever benefits they are expecting from God, why everybody is not getting only a few gain, in spite of following everything very religiously?
What do they expect?
I mean, it could be anything. It could be mental satisfaction. It could be material benefits. It could be anything.
Yeah, because God is not our order supplier. It's not that I worship Krishna and now Krishna has to take out my laundry list and tick off the items. Yes, all right, he wants this, he wants this. It's like Santa Claus, Mm-hmm. Tell me what you want and then you find it under your tree. It's not like that. It's not Krishna's business. Therefore, people are not so interested in Krishna. They want to worship Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva is more generous. Yes, you want this? All right, take it. He doesn't consider whether it's good or bad for you. You want it? All right, take it. But Krishna takes consideration. Is this going to actually be for the benefit of my devotee? When it's beneficial, then he may give. When it's the other way, then he may not give, or he may take away even. Because he's considerate. Lord Shiva doesn't consider, he just gives. But Krishna considers, is this good or not so good? The devotee is not worshipping, pure devotee doesn't worship Krishna simply to get something. He's worshipping to serve. And what I get, that's up to Krishna. My business is to serve, that's all. Of course, even if he has material desires, that they may be satisfied. Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom, Krishna gave him a kingdom. So one is recommended, akama sarva kama va moksha kama. Whether one has no desires or all desires, or desiring liberation, if he's intelligent, he'll approach Krishna, personality of God.
When I talk to people about Krishna consciousness, and then I tell them some of like the regular principles, and you know that everything should be done in service to Krishna, they think that that means that there's no, well, that there's no enjoyment for yourself, which is sort of true. I guess you don't really enjoy it in life.
They're not enjoying in their life.
Right.
They're not restricted. They don't have to follow these regulative principles. So they can do those things and suffer.
Right. My question is, if you're using your talents or your gifts or your work to serve Krishna, then you do enjoy.
You enjoy it. Just like the hand. When the hand is holding on to the food, it doesn't enjoy. It may think, I got it. I can enjoy, but it can't enjoy. It puts it in the stomach, and the hand will also enjoy.
So I try to explain that sometimes, that when you know that you can enjoy things when you put them in the stomach.
You'll enjoy more.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy more. Now you're trying to enjoy, but you're suffering. You think, I'm going to enjoy by intoxication, and the result is that you suffer.
You get hungover,
you get addicted, you get, according to which thing you're taking and in what quantities, you get bewildered, you get crazy. So many ways. Crime is so much associated with drugs and alcohol. Unwanted pregnancy is so much associated with drugs and alcohol. So many things. Suicide, bewilderment, or just being stupid. So you're thinking, I'm going to enjoy, but the real thing is you're going to suffer. You're thinking by illicit sex, now I'm going to enjoy. The result is that you suffer. By gambling, by meat eating. They're under illusion. They're thinking, you're taking away my enjoyment. No, we're taking away your suffering. The doctor says, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. They think, then where's the enjoyment? But the things that those things they're eating are giving them pain. They're falsely thinking, let me enjoy. And they're suffering like dogs. And we're thinking, why should I enjoy? Krishna should enjoy. And we're enjoying more. They're taking their rubbish food from the store, the restaurant, and with all nasty things. And we're getting nice Krishna prasadam. Who's enjoying more? We're enjoying more. You're paying money to watch a movie. We're chanting Hare Krishna. It doesn't cost us anything, and we're enjoying more.
Said that to reduce our free will and material hankering, devotee association is very important. And grown up, we're still growing. It's a very small community, very few devotees. So it's very nice to have, you know, your lotus feet here and so many devotees from different places. But in future, how can we get more association so our free will reduces?
Not that your free will reduces, but you use your free will properly.
Right.
When I surrender to Krishna, it's not that I don't have free will anymore, but I've used it properly. If a person decides to serve his country, he's giving up other things, but it doesn't mean now he doesn't have free will, but he's used his free will. I desire to serve my country. It's not that free will is gone, but he's dedicated it, but I'll use my free will for this purpose. So it's not doing away with free will, but using it. properly. To increase, first you, there's so many ways to increase. Distribute these books, one way or another way, that will increase. And don't limit yourself to the Indian community. The Indian community is a small percentage of the total community. Why should you be limited to only the Indians? There's so many Westerners. Let them, they can be approached, and they'll take interest. Indians also, but not, why only Indians? We're not another Indian association, Indian religious society. Krishna's not the Indian god. Aham Bija Pradapita, Sarvayam Shiva, he's the father of all living beings. So we don't need to restrict ourselves to some small group. If there's an Indian program, then there's nothing we can do because all the Indians are going there. If there's a majority of the people are not going to the Indian program because they're not Indian. But that's good, actually. Okay, all the people are away at the Indian program. You can invite the Western people to come. And no need to restrict them. Apart from that, it's propaganda. Anything you want to sell, vacuum cleaners, you want to sell cars, you want to sell anything, what do? You make propaganda. Put posters, give out cards, hold an exhibition, knock on people's doors, get in the news. One way or another, you have a message to get out. So if you're in business, you're thinking, how to get my message out? How to increase sales? So it's the same thing, only they're selling a material product, we're selling the absolute product. First thing is your desire has to be there. That people should get this product or this benefit. And then when your desire is there and you're thinking what to do, if you don't think about it, it doesn't happen automatically. You just sort of sit here and people all wander in because they're all looking for Krishna. They're looking for Maya. You have to look for them. So that means always thinking, how to increase, you're meeting so many people. Don't think this person couldn't be interested, that person couldn't be interested. You don't know who's going to be interested. Give them all. You have some cards.
We have mantra cards. Yeah.
You have the cards with the mantra, with your address, with your contact. Give them out profusely. The more you give out, if 1% of the people are going to take interest, or 0.5%, 0.5% of 100 is half a person. So you need 200. You get one person. But if you distribute 1,000, 10,000, still you get 0.5%. So profusely. Distribute your information. Look for every possible venue where you can put your announcements. Whether it's the Indian store, the Whole Foods store, the library, this place, that place, school, college.
Twitter, Facebook, why not?
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook. That's what they're meant for, so they would be totally useless.
Thank you, Mark.
Among your young people, encourage them to make propaganda. Everybody. Strain your brain. How to have some festival that will attract them. My godbrother Charu in Utah, he's in the middle of Utah. Everyone's a Mormon. Practically, they're all Mormons. But he started a center there, and by different ways, he's attracted people to take part. One thing is they hold the holy celebration.
Festival of Colors.
Festival of Colors. And everybody has fun, you know? It's just a cultural thing, and everyone enjoys throwing colors just as the Indian people enjoy. But his purpose is not just to have another cultural program, they'll be chanting and they're shouting the Maha Mantra. And thousands, tens of thousands of people come. He's just thinking, how can I get people to come? How can I people? Well, if we have this festival, people will come. Govardhan Puja, you can have a mountain of food festival. People will come. Always have something that will be attracting them. Whether it's this festival, this program, that festival, that program. What's hot in America now? Kirtan. People are attracted to come to a place for kirtan. You don't have to invent anything new. Announce that we're going to be having kirtan, such and such place, and have some capable kirtaniyas, and people will come. Kirtan, prasadam. And if five people come, then they'll tell five other people, 10 other people, next time maybe 7 people will come. Gradually grows, grows, grows. Do it. And it means being always active, thinking what to do more, how to increase. If your life depended on it, what would you do?
Maharaj, did you say that trend is now for the kirtan?
Yeah.
All over?
All over. America, it's a very big thing. People are paying $100 or more. Yeah, $50, $100 to come and for kirtan. Western people. And what do? They chant Hare Krishna, chant, they do kirtan. And people's, oh, this is meditation, this is kirtan. People get into it. So we're the kirtan movement. We don't have to invent something very novel. Kirtan is already there. Everything's there in kirtan.
But I think that, just to expand on his question, I think we are reaching out to community, like, even Festival of India, any temple events, other things we do have, like a book stand, preach our Bhagavad Gita. Even in Blacksburg, we have a few devotees. We're spreading out. The question is, how do we, and we do discover them, some who receive a lot of interest in writing the Bhakti Viksha that we are having every week now. And there are some people to conference calls that we know and doing other things. The question is, how do we go to the next level of having a congregation type of thing? Maybe it has to be at homes and stuff.
Yeah, do things that people, it doesn't have to be here. This is maybe a good venue for some purposes.
Yeah.
But especially if you need some space.
Yeah.
But
or there is a conflict. Usually, unfortunately I'm associated with the temples. They love for us to have it and they're very happy something's going on. Mm. So that's not a problem here. They're more than, and sometimes people say, oh, Hindu temple, no, this is, I can vouch that, they're pretty good about it. Mm. But sometimes, there are festivals or whatever, conflicts will be there. So I think we need to probably have some...
Yeah, not that if they're doing something here and it's on the day of your program, then you say, well, then we have to cancel the program. Have your program somewhere else.
Yeah.
You don't have so many people that you need a big... Yeah, this, the number of people that we have here today could meet at anyone's house. And people sometimes feel more comfortable in, at a home than in a public building. But you can have your programs home to home. And also sometimes the homes will be closer to people. You meet in this neighborhood, that neighborhood, rotating.
That's probably what we need to do more next.
Yeah, you don't have to be in this place. You can be in wherever. This place may sometimes be for your advantage, and other places may sometimes be more for your advantage. Then people also participate more, because if it's at their home, then they have to be more involved. and they like it. Now, so many people came to our home, and we had kirtan, and we had prabhachan, and so on and so on.
You can schedule
it.
It's not a devotee's home, but schedule it someone's home who could potentially become.
Yeah, if he's. Then he's. He's our friend, then he can.
Host,
sure.
Probably what I have seen in Charlotte is if you take a Bhakti Ruksha or any event at a new person's house, then he himself brings in his own friends.
Yeah, he'll bring his family, maybe
other than
his
the
friends.
Group which we are bringing in. So that way.
That's a very good thing because we always do Bhakti Ruksha here.
So try to get it someone else other
someone
than
else
our devotee's house.
Yeah, we don't have to be tied to this place. Good, we have the facility when we need it. But the facility is meant to serve us, not that we have to serve the facility. So you may find better results meeting in people's homes. And when the home meetings get to be too big, then you can either meet here or split and meet and have two meetings.
Yeah.
Then you're something on the east side, something on the west side. Homes are very good. And as you said, then you get involvement from the whole family.
Because when they are hosting, they feel like, okay, I will call my friends, someone who I know. And once in a while, you repeat the program at their house, you will get one or two coming to your program regularly. Hmm.
Introduce new people that way.
It's a very good idea. Hmm.
Personal call. If you call them personally,
yeah.
I when we do Bhakti Viksha, she does the emailing, but I do more of calling. I just keep on calling people. And they do turn up.
Yeah, we've had, since the beginning of our movement, we've had great success with them. Keep your list and call them. You know, people don't, what is it? A body in motion tends to stay in motion. A body at rest tends to stay at rest.
You do.
So if you want to get them in motion, you have to apply some energy. And the more personal, the better. So telephone is very good. Even if you go and visit them sometime, that's a special thing. Somehow or other, you know, really, it's not just going to happen automatically. That's the main thing. There has to be our effort. And the more people are putting in a little effort, but with your enthusiasm and your endeavor, then things will happen. And again, straining your brain, you know, if you have a plan that's impractical, then it's hard for people to get involved. So, but if you're thinking of what will work, then try this. You get one thing that works, you repeat it. Then try something else, then maybe you'll get two things that'll work.
We can understand, since Krishna is there everywhere in every person also, that when we have whatever we think about or we have desires, what we want, he understands. Now, if there are demigods, now demigods also have to understand through Krishna, right? Mm. So, but then there's so many people all over the world now, the same demigod, everybody is worshipping Ganesh. How would he have personal attention to so many people? He's not a demigod. If somebody is worshipping a demigod, since he is not present in every person, how would he be able to get that personal attention or understand if somebody is praying to him? Because he would not.
Krishna is giving him. Of course, demigods also, they're more powerful. So, they, just like you can understand when somebody's doing you a favor, so they have greater capabilities for understanding. But ultimately, it's Krishna who's in the background directing everything. What for us seems like a big deal, you know, a small guy, he can't understand how someone's running a big company. For him, it's like magic. And for the person with a bigger company, that company is nothing. So from our point of view, how are the demigods managing so many millions? It's a small corner of the universe. Demigods are just in charge of one small corner. One department of one small corner. Not such a big deal. And Krishna is there in the background.
I had another question. In addition to that question, she was telling about the relatives. Like, our parents are, my parents are habituated to sacrificing something, like sacrificing hen, sacrificing some of the things for demigods. Mm. For example, what you can say, like, they give
Bali.
Bali.
Animal sacrifice.
And if you do this, it's sin and all. Then they will think that if they stop, then they will get some negative effects. So how we can tell them, convince them, so that they will be happy and they will stop.
So again, it's the same thing.
Like how can
you may or may not be able to convince them. Give them the books. You know, you tell them. First of all, people don't listen to their children. So, you know, your odds are stacked against you.
It's a traditional kind of.
They're supposed to be telling you. You're not supposed to be telling them. So anyway, the books are there. You can invite them to the programs where someone else will tell them. And again, it's not that our whole project has to be how to convince my family members. It's a big world out there.
I think the thing is, there's love for family members to taste something better you want them.
That's natural.
Yes,
but our love should not be restricted only to those who are in relationship to this one material body. There's so many people who deserve love.
This last question. Maharaj, if Krishna is there in everyone's heart, why some people have belief on God and love for God?
Because they want it.
Doesn't have.
He's in the heart. Matasmritir gyanam apavanamja. I give remembrance of me, I give forgetfulness. You want to remember me, I help you remember. You want me to forget me, I help you to forget. According to your desire. You want to remember Krishna, Krishna will bring you closer. You want to forget Krishna, Krishna will let you go further away, help you go further away.
Maharaj, we keep getting thoughts, random thoughts keep coming up. So how does it get triggered? Is it because of our own free will that it comes, or is it because...
Mind is full of thoughts. It's been kicking around the material universe since time immemorial. So many things are there. And even in this one lifetime, so many impressions are there on the mind. But why should it be surprising? Plus, we expose ourselves to so many things. We watch television, then is it surprising that later we're thinking about what we saw on the television? We read the newspaper, later we're thinking about what we read in the newspaper.
So the sequence of thoughts that we get, is it controlled by Krishna, or is it because of our own free will?
Because of our?
Our free will, like what we...
Well, everything's... our free will, and Krishna is the ultimate cause of everything. The mind is material. So in touch with different material objects, the mind is, the mind goes to a pornographic movie and then the mind is full of pornographic thoughts. The mind goes to Srimad Bhagavatam and the mind is full of Srimad Bhagavatam. So according to where you put your mind, mind responds. The mind picks up impressions. Therefore, education is very important. When the children are exposed to all rubbish, then from an early age their minds are filled with rubbish. And when they're directed toward Krishna from an early age, their minds can be filled with Krishna consciousness. So that's...
And the modes of material nature, how would they impact thoughts?
I can't hear you.
The three modes of material nature?
Yes.
How would they influence the thoughts that we get?
If you're in the mode of ignorance, you'll think of stupid things, mm-hmm. crazy things, nasty things. If you're in the mode of passion, you'll think of so many desires and so many things you want to accomplish. And you'll see something, I want it. If I had this, then I'd... passion. And the mode of goodness, mind tends to be satisfied, yes, this is nice. And the mind is attracted toward more simple, natural things, healthy. Just like food. A person in ignorance is attracted to non-vegetarian food, to liquor, to old rotten cheeses. A person in the mode of passion is attracted to food that's super hot, super salty, super sour, super sweet, super... And the person in the mode of goodness is attracted to food that's healthy, mild, strengthening, tasty. According to the modes, one's attracted. So the mind is there. I would like to have some nasty thing if he's in the mode of goodness. If he's in the mode of passion, something exciting. If he's in the mode of goodness, something healthy, something nice.
Maharaj, while chanting, there are so many thoughts are coming in mind, and I have to supposed to concentrate on holy name, but so many...
Just hear. The process is not to try to think of this, think of that. Just try to hear the sound of Hare Krishna. And if the mind wanders, you just bring the mind back to the sounds.
Chanting is so important.
Excuse me?
Why chanting is so important?
Because the mind is wandering here and there.
Why I have to do 16 malas every day? Because it takes too much time.
Takes too much time. 2 hours a day for Krishna is too much time. How much time do you think he deserves? At least 2 hours of your day has been saved. We have 24 hours a day, and how much of it is spent in things that are not very wonderful? There's so many things that are a waste of time, but you have no time for them because you need to take those 2 hours a day for chanting Hare Krishna. That's good.
Is it okay to remember his leelas while chanting?
You may remember, but that's not the practice, that I should think of such and such leela. Mm-hmm. Just hear the sound. And some leela comes to your mind, that's all right. But not that my business is that while chanting, I have to think of Damodar leela or this leela or that. Just hear the chanting.
This question is on chanting itself. People, and especially the younger generation, they love the kirtan, they love to go for classes, programs, prasadam, and when it comes to chanting, like if I ask my son, how many did you chant?
So encourage them in what they like to do. If they like kirtan, if they like...
Is it countable, Prabhu?
Huh?
I mean, so chanting, if you listen to more kirtans...
I can't hear you.
If you listen to more kirtans instead of chanting,
Everything is there, but in the beginning, let them be encouraged in what they like to do.
How to encourage them in regular chanting?
I just told you, the things that they like to do, mm-hmm. encourage them in that. If they like kirtan, encourage them to do kirtan more and more. By doing kirtan, after a while, they'll get some taste, they'll get something. Let me chant japa also. If you just try to force them, you have to sit and chant japa so many hours. It's difficult. Let them get a taste. Encourage them, the things that they like to do. If they like to worship the deity, or like to do kirtan, or like to read the books, or so encourage them what they like to do. Something like a tree ripening. If one part of the tree starts to ripen, the fruits on the other side will also start to ripen.
Maharaj, you said my mind is material.
Apart from that, I'm not an expert in bringing up children, so you can.
Maharaj, if I ask in the evening my son, how many did he chant, he'll tell me 5, 8. It's not 5 rounds or 8 rounds, it's 5 times or 8 times.
So again, encourage them. And take your television set and throw it out the window.
No, it's empty. Therefore, just show.
Excuse me?
We have 2 televisions. It's empty. Just you can see just Prabhupada.
Oh, that's good.
And nothing else besides.
That's good. Yeah. So many things that are a waste of time can be eliminated. And fill the time with things that are nice. Krishna stories, Krishna kirtan, Krishna something. Something, something, Krishna, Krishna. Now, gradually they'll take the whole package. You don't have to take the thing that they least want to do and push it hardest. And because you're regularly chanting, children follow, they imitate. So you regularly chant. Okay, yes?
One last question. Maybe you should go first.
It's regarding, Maharaj, people, it's during preaching, they like the Krishna pastime, they like Krishna and everything. But when it comes to the philosophical part, the transmigration of soul, or the Vaikuntha Loka, the Goloka, sometimes people cannot grasp that thing.
Yeah, people are not very. This is Kali Yuga, Manda Sumanda Mataya. Therefore, more kirtan.
That's why kirtan.
When that part comes, then it comes to the point of argument, and then I stop it. Is it okay? You just chant.
That's good. Let them read the books, let them take part in the kirtan. Not everyone is very philosophical in this age. Try and convince them as far as possible. But, again, banging your head against the wall. Give them good arguments. If they don't want to understand it, that's all right. Let's have kirtan. Our main thing is kirtan. Old people, young people, everyone. And more kirtan. And some philosophy, everything. Have kirtan, then speak something. And have more kirtan. Kirtan will purify their minds so they can understand a little something of the philosophy. Okay, anything else? Yes, you wanted to ask?
I think Namo Kishore had asked you before about developing love, whether when someone worships a demigod, whether they can develop love for that particular demigod like we develop love for Krishna.
It's not quite like we develop love for Krishna, because love for Krishna is the eternal function of the living being. But they worship some demigod, they develop devotion to that demigod, they develop some, you can say love.
But it's not the definition of pure devotional service.
No, it's not pure devotional service. But they become attracted, they may become attracted to such and such demigod and want to be dedicated to that demigod and serve that demigod and feel great affection for that demigod.
So the definition of Anya Vilasita Shunyam is very exclusive.
Yeah. Krishna Anushunyam.
Yeah, so it doesn't even include.
Yeah, sometimes they talk, they speak about Shiva Bhakti or Ganesh Bhakti, but Bhakti means for Krishna.
No, I meant even like Ram. Isn't it very exclusive just
no,
Krishna?
Ram is Krishna.
In a purport, I forget, I can't remember which purport in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that one should not even be attracted by any other form.
Sometimes he says that, and sometimes it says that it doesn't matter, Krishna or Ram. Whichever. Advaita Machuta Manada Manantu.
Whereas all demigods are Krishna's servants, right? So when other people pray to them, eventually, isn't it the job of the demigods to direct them to Krishna?
That's the idea, that by worshipping the demigod, they'll gradually. But just like Lord Shiva says, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam. He tells, my dear Devi, of all who worship, the Vishnu worship is the best. Tasmat Paritaram Devi Tadiyanam. And still better is worship of the devotee. So the demigods are also saying, but people aren't listening. Brahma is also saying, Govindamadi Purusham Tamahanandina. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sarasa Shantisu. All the demigods are looking toward Krishna. When Krishna appeared, was in the womb of Devaki, the demigods all came to offer him prayers. There's some Bhagavatams full of prayers by the demigods. If people want to take direction from the demigods, they can engage in the service of Krishna. People are not doing. Okay, shall we stop here? Thank you all very much.